Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Handoff goes to Henry. Through a hole on the right side, and he's off and running. Off to the races to the 40. 50. In pursuit is Cam Lewis and DeMar Hamlin. They're not going to get him. He's going to go the distance. 87 yards for the touchdown on the first play from scrimmage. Handoff goes to Hill. No, it's kept by Jackson, and he's going to race to the pylon, and he's in for the touchdown. A 9-yard touchdown run by Lamar Jackson.
It just wasn't up to our standard tonight. We have to do things better fundamentally. It's not just one position. It's a collective as a team. Have to fundamentally do a better job.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Bills got roasted in Baltimore. Offense, defense. I mean, do you want to go special teams? I guess you could, because Tyler Bass missed another kick, and that's no good. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
What are the odds he's played his last game for the Bills?
Low. Very, very low. Very low.
So just never cut him?
He has to be on the team. I don't think they can afford to cut him. There's cap stuff.
Right.
The next step, if you want the next step in the Tyler Bass story, if in fact the Bills are thinking about making a change, it's a kicker to the practice squad, and then a kicker gets elevated, and then a kicker gets a chance to kick. But, I mean, you're going to – again, any plan for changing Tyler Bass is to just sign someone who has been worse than him and hope that gets better, which is possible. Yeah. I mean, I watched and a lot of Bills fans, maybe you're keyed into this now. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We'll get some phone calls in a moment here. Now I watch 50-yard kicks, and I think about them differently. Young Wei Koo's 57 yards to win a game.
There was a 60-yarder to Brandon Aubrey maybe yesterday.
Yeah, I'm just watching. I mean, again, in the Jets-Broncos game, both guys missed a kick at the end, and that's how the Broncos won.
Yeah.
If you didn't see that, the Broncos had decided to kick a field goal from 50 to go up by 4, missed it. The Jets need to go 20 yards and get a field goal. They go 20 yards and then miss. So,
well, right now, they could, if they cut Tyler Bass today, it would save them $100,000. So what you would pay, and that would be spread out over two years, by the way. Like, next year is the same. You cut him now, or you cut him after the season. He's going to cost you $3 million in your cap next year. So that's not any different. What they would have to do is they would have to pay an extra, what's a vet minimum kicker contract? Is that $800,000 and $900,000? They'd have to find like $700,000, $800,000 probably to replace him with another kicker. Wow. So they can do it. It just comes down to if they think there is someone out there that is going to be a better kicker for them, because he's now missing a kick a game almost.
Yeah. 803-0550. Then, of course, there's, you know, you have to consider kickoffs and how whoever it is that's going to come in would do that. So you'd probably just have someone on the practice squad and elevate them. Anyway, I don't think Tyler Bass is their biggest issue yesterday.
No.
The Bills got, of course, run over by Derrick Henry, and their offense was without answers. There's a horribly designed and called trick play. There's an offense that never found any rhythm. You know, the first montage of Allen highlights, and this is a little bit of the design of the offense. You know, when it works, it looks great. And when it doesn't work, you start to wonder about it. The first highlight package they showed of Allen was him getting snap, ball out, snap, ball out, snap, ball out, left and right, like he's a point guard, like he's Tua, right? How much is there in having him be the best quarterback in the league if it's snap, turn, and throw to a guy directly to his left?
Right.
Because it's a bubble screen for Kincaid, or it's a bubble screen for Samuel. Like, these are plays that are extensions of the run game. And for me, like, that's important to point out here. We might look at their neutral pass rate or their run rate. When they throw those plays, those are basically running plays. It's just an extended handoff that they think they can get out in space and out on the edge and get Samuel or some of these guys that are yak, like Shakir. Like, okay. But that's not really using, to my mind, Josh Allen's best assets or best abilities.
Yesterday was for the offense, because you made a good point about how, like, their defense, like, there are reinforcements coming eventually. Bernard, Johnson, and maybe Milano later in the year. Last night, if that's how that's going to look, you've got backup linebackers in there that the Ravens exposed. They were able to expose them in a way that Miami was not, in a way that Jacksonville was not. Hey, let's get everything at Baylen Specter. Let's get Dorian Williams one-on-one against Justice Hill, and let's see if he could cover him. He could not, by the way. That was a wheel route for a touchdown, and Specter looked lost all the time. That was, let's go after their backups, and that's how it looked. If you've got backups in there, that's just going to be how it goes, probably. You're going to have defensive performances like that once in a while, and that was, to me, a first test of the Bills' offense of, okay, your defense is not going to perform well today. Are you able to play in a shootout? Are you able to go toe-to-toe, play a shootout? And one, it didn't look like their personnel was ready for a game like that or was capable of a game like that. And it also looked like their coach was really trying to fight against that notion. The punts, right? Like, yeah. McDermott did not coach the game like he thought he had to win in a shootout. But the way that game was, your personnel on the field, the opponent you were playing, the only way you're winning that game last night is if your offense is going toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, and
that's it.
And at 14-3, he made a bet that we could make a stop. And they didn't.
I don't know.
They didn't. It was 21-3.
Right.
Soon after. All right. 803-0550. Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. Just wanted to say that I am not the ostrich that is burying my head in the sand. I am eating a big piece of humble pie as a true Buffalo Bills fan. I'm going to take this loss and put it behind me. All right. I was disappointed. But one of the things is take a poll. How many fans out there, Buffalo Bill fans, were expecting to win this game? I really didn't really care about it too much, because you made a point the other morning. You said, out of the next three away games, what's the most important game? And I jumped all over the New York Jets. We have five divisional games left. We have 13 games left. I definitely feel that we still have something. Just completely was disappointed last night. I mean, if that trick play had worked, then maybe Joe Brady would have been a genius. You'd never know these things. But that's football. And like Sal Capaccio always says, every game has its own DNA. And even before the game last night, Hamilton, the interview, if you saw it, she asked him, it was like, which defensive player should the Bills worry about? And he said, everyone in black. And I kind of knew that the Ravens were on a mission. They did their homework. Give credit where credit's due. If there's Bills fans that don't like the loss, go root for another team.
Rob.
Really? If you, seriously?
Rob, if you don't like the loss... Rob, stop.
Listen,
Rob, no, stop. Rob, hold on. If you don't like the loss, root for another team. You have to like the loss?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know about that.
Listen, it's been a long time since they got hammered like that. We're going to talk about it. Everything's going to be okay, everybody. We can. The Bills are big boys. They can handle this. They can handle talking about getting beat.
Yeah.
Right? I know, like, everything has been rosy all offseason, and for the first 3 weeks, they got blasted. We can talk about it. If you don't like the loss, root for another team? Well, what on earth has that ever said about any team? Every team in the NFL, not every team, almost every team in the NFL has lost a game. The Ravens lost two.
Yeah.
We're talking about it. All right. Thanks. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
And real quick to follow up, I think one thing. What we're talking about is what from the game might be a thing that is a problem going forward. Are you seeing cracks in the approach and whatever? Like, I don't think their defense is going to get run over for 200 yards a game. I don't think that's a problem. It is a week-to-week league. It's a matchup league. They got hammered in this matchup. Mm. I think McDermott's fourth down decision-making is cause for concern. And potentially their outside boundary receivers, which we knew coming in might be cause for concern. You know, when the game script doesn't go perfect, that might not be able to bail them out. So, like, talking about things that happen in a game doesn't mean the season's over, but we're going to talk about it in context. So, anyway, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Yeah, no, we got to eat humble pie today. The biggest thing for me, well, I'll just say 2 points of the game, and then I'll move on to what I'm most concerned about. But the biggest thing is time management again with Sean McDermott. It continues to pop up time and time again. I wanted him to coach that game of football with Jeff. Aggressive. I don't know, maybe he didn't get the flow of the game, and he decided that we're going to punt and not offensive crack at getting, you know, 1 yard or 2 yard or whatever the case may be, but whatever. The biggest thing for me, fellas, is the receiving core. I just don't know who's going to emerge down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all talk about Stephon Diggs and missing somebody that could take, get game planned on. And I just don't know, boys. It doesn't look good for separation, here watching that game last night. So that would be the biggest thing. I think the running backs are fine. I think the offensive line is fine. Joe Brady, you don't have to really get too cute sometimes, but when we're playing a smash mouth team like Baltimore can be, and they line up and they run it at you, we got to be prepared to stop the run and run the ball. So, I mean, those are my takes.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
On the receivers, I need them to not be throwing the ball six times to Mac Hollins, right? Like, to me, that is not the answer. I don't know that they have the answers. By the way, I don't know that in a game like that where, all right, the short stuff's getting taken away, can you get open? Can you just get open? Separate? Can I have a little bit going on down the field? Just a little bit. The Ravens had it. The Bills are the team in the league that stops big explosive plays, and the Ravens had a bunch of them. Lamar, there was a point in the game, by the way, where Henry, I think he had 87 yards on his first touch. And I think it was on his next 10 carries, he averaged less than 3 yards a carry. There was a middle portion there where they were stopping Derrick Henry. What were the chunk plays? Lamar was all alone in the pocket, and he was finding guys down the field. And the Bills did not have those plays on their own. But part of it, to me, like, you're not going to get an answer from 31-year-old Mac Hollins, who's been on four teams in 4 years, who is a fine player, veteran, special teamer, like leader, whatever. He's a guy to have on a team, but he is not someone you should be throwing the ball six times to when you're trying to catch up in a game. Like, to me, they might not have an answer, but we got to know that throwing the ball that many times to Mac Hollins is not their answer on offense, right? That cannot be the answer.
Six times to Hollins. What was it, three or four to Coleman?
Four to Coleman.
That number climbs. And, you know, he made two nice plays. He made up for the drop with a really nice pair of catches.
Two to Samuel. Again, like, that's the guy. You paid. Look at the investment. What did they think when they brought these guys in? Matt Collins is on a $1 million deal? 1 year, $1 million? Samuel's not on a big receiver contract, but 3 years, $8 million a year is a lot more of an investment, and it doesn't look like it. Maybe it's the toe. But that guy's supposed to be a man-beater, a separator, someone that you can line up at any receiver position, and he's going to find a way to get open. Not to Diggs level, not to, you know, star number one receiver level, but he'll find a way to get open once in a while. And he's catching two passes a game, and they're both at the line of scrimmage almost every time. That's the guy I'm going to hope they're getting more from later on, and not Hollins.
803-0550. Yeah, I mean, all these teams are works in progress. They're not losing the season in September and a bad performance against Baltimore. We did kind of joke about this with Howard during Howard Picks the Bills, that 15-2, when we had a silly conversation at training camp, was preferred to 17-0 by many people because, like, oh, you don't want the pressure of 17-0. Like, we know they're going to lose games. So there's one. You know, will there be another one in the next 6 weeks? Maybe not. Beat Houston, who did not look great against Jacksonville. The Jets looked horrendous against Denver. You've got Tennessee, Seattle, will you watch tonight? You got Miami again. Who knows who's at quarterback? Like, this team could be 8-2. So I don't think anybody's.
Yeah,
bailing on the idea that they're still a good team.
No, I'm not. I actually, strangely, I feel after they just had their worst game in years, I feel more confident they're going to win the division today than I did yesterday.
Because the Jets were so bad?
Yeah. And I think it's more likely the Bills just had a bad game than the Jets just had a bad game. I think the Jets might be bad.
Well,
The Bills I don't think are bad. They might have just had a bad game.
One thing to keep an eye on for that, and that might be right, will you apply that to the Jaguars last week? Did they just have a really bad game? They got hammered. They were down 34-0, right?
Yep.
It's a 25-point loss for the Bills. And hey, right, week to week, I like what the caller said. I mean, Rob did say each game has its own DNA. That's right. And there's also, I used to say this a lot, and I'll say it again. Every blowout has a moment where it doesn't have to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in this game. It was a blowout, and then the Bills were getting back into it with the ball down 11. And then they ran a trick play, and it became a blowout again. These blowouts, watch these games. They don't always have to go the way they go, and then boom, all right, never mind. Now it's over.
That play really was incredible, too, because it all ended in like 5 seconds. And it could have been worse. I mean,
there was
a moment in my head where I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst play in team history.
Right, because you thought his UCL exploded or something again?
I didn't even know. All I saw was the clown show of the play, and then the Ravens are celebrating, and what does the camera pan to? Allen laying face down on the ground, and then it pans to Dalton Kincaid laying face down on the ground. Like, okay, the Ravens have the ball, and they're celebrating, and my quarterback and my tight end are just on the ground, and who knows if they're injured. There was like a split second there where it's like, oh, what? Could it have gone any worse? It could have gone worse, because Allen could have actually got injured.
803-0550. Johnny in Buffalo. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I don't think there was a worse matchup for us with our two starting linebackers out and the way our safeties have been looking than Baltimore. You know, the style of offense they run, just with their fullbacks, their tight end, everything, they just were we were completely outmatched. And you know, I came on to talk a little bit about, you know, McDermott and his fourth down decision making. I think, you know, I'm always going to be concerned about that until he proves me wrong, and, you know, proves me wrong in big games, you know, playoffs included once we get there. You know, but like you guys said, I'm not really worried about this team. I'm not really worried about them making the playoffs. You know, I think we've been spoiled a little bit by 17 back there, keeping us close. Obviously, this is like the first game we've lost in like the last 40 by more than 6 points or whatever. And so it stings a little bit more than others, and we're like, wait, this isn't supposed to happen. But, you know, Josh really does, you know, keep everybody with the job. And, you know, he makes up for a lot of lack of talent, a lot of poor coaching decisions. Josh does it on his own. I mean, he dropped the ball into Keon Coleman before half, which obviously Coleman drops, and we don't get any points from that drive before half. And then he makes a ridiculous throw from the sideline and finds Shakir. And he's the only one who was really keeping us in that game. And it's just with 17 back there, we'll always be a playoff contender. We'll always, I think we're going to win the division. I think we're going to have a Brady-like run in this division, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But I'm just, it's when we get to the playoffs, when we play against these better teams, and look, Brady lost games too against good teams in the regular season, the Patriots and their dynasty. It's, can you just, you know, can we get to that 14-3, 13-4 position and win the division? And then when we are in the playoffs, hopefully with Bernard Milano, I'm still concerned about the safeties because DeMar Hamlin looks slow. Can McDermott get that defense together and make it happen? But other than that, I'm not too worried. We're making the playoffs. This team's going to be fine. Go Bills.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
You know, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, we react to the game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
And I'm not about to say you shouldn't be fired up or whatever. We used to have label Tuesdays as Talk It Out Tuesdays, and by Wednesday we'll be picking them to beat the Texans. Like it's fine. Even if they lose to Houston, whatever. Like you can't win the Super Bowl in week 4. We know that. But it was kind of the game, and maybe this is a part of it, that if you had your concerns, this was one of those concern confirming games, if I may. The everybody eats scenario. Like, that was toast yesterday. And defensively, right, it's a bad matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially a bad matchup when you're down your linebackers. But now I've got two straight games against the AFC's elite, if I may, Kansas City and Baltimore, where I lost because I don't have good enough linebackers because of injury. Like, what can I do instead? Could they throw another defensive lineman out there? Try, I don't know. I don't have any answers for you. I'm not a football coach that comes up with these defensive schemes. But it's just, for me, what yesterday was, if anything, is I kind of have to take Baltimore seriously. And a lot of Bills fans, I feel like, we're not doing that.
Taking Baltimore seriously?
Yes.
Because, I mean, they should have at least taken them seriously as a threat.
Sure, but look at Lamar in the playoffs, and look at Lamar against the Bills, and this and that. And that defense just held Josh Allen without a rushing or passing touchdown for the first time since 2021. It's Josh Allen's first game without a rushing or passing touchdown since 2021. Sit on that for a minute.
That's pretty incredible.
That's a testament to how good Josh has been.
Right.
And two, how good they were against him. What they did.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls. People are frustrated. Listen, trying to be like a psychiatrist, but it's okay to be mad. You don't have to tell Bills fans that they have to quit watching the team if they're mad when they lose. It's okay to be mad when they lose. It happens.
Hey, tune into WGR each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question presented by Game Day Hospitality. It's your chance to win two VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone tailgate party. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. You can visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details.
So Buffalo went to the tricks, and Allen had it knocked out of his hand.
We'll call that the play of the game. Is it the most memorable play from the game? Probably. That or the 87-yard touchdown run for Derrick Henry on the first snap for Baltimore. Play of the game.
Play of the game. That was the worst play of the game, I would definitely say.
Best play, the throw to Shakir down the sideline. 52 yards. All right. Jeremy and Joe, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills lose. They don't often lose like that. Maybe that's why people are a little bit, I don't know.
They've lost like that to the Colts. They've lost like that to the Titans.
Eagles.
The Eagles.
The Carson Wentz game.
Carson Wentz games, because the Colt game was also Carson Wentz.
That's right.
Although I don't think he did anything in either game.
You might have some Bills fans that are more angry because they're not used to a loss like this, or some that are more likely to brush it off because, guys, they don't ever lose like this. It wasn't their night. And we have room for both of them. And if you want to be mad, if you want to be, you know,
I don't
brush it off, it's fine.
I'm not going to lie. I don't even mind that today. I'm not all the way there at all. But I don't mind, you know what? This team never gets beat like that. They were totally due. It happens to everybody.
Could I make one potent? You want to say devil's advocate? I'll just say this, right? Okay. This team never loses like that, right?
Right.
This team isn't that team.
This Bills team is not.
Bills team isn't that team that never lost like this. We've talked about a team in transition, a different window. I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to lose five games like this, but the way they're built right now, injuries, turnover at important positions, it's possible that it's not another 4 years before this happens. This team is not that team, you know?
Right.
So put that out there.
That's fair. And like the team that I pointed out around halftime right before, like, hey, just remember, the Ravens blow this lead more than anybody, and I tweeted out the box score of these two teams meeting in Baltimore 2 years ago where – this game last night was 21-3 Baltimore. The Bills got down 20-3 against Baltimore 2 years ago and came back and won 23-20. But, you know.
But this isn't that team.
How did they do it? They did it a lot by... That wasn't even like, you want to talk about everybody eats, and again, how this isn't really new. That game, 6 targets to Diggs, 6 targets to Knox, 6 targets to Isaiah McKenzie, 5 targets to Devin Singletary, but it was all working.
Yeah.
Like, they were efficient in that game. They were also, I guess, didn't give up on running the ball, and their defense found answers for the Ravens.
Right, they locked it down. Which occasionally...
Because they had Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano at linebacker.
And that happened in the opener. They get down to Arizona, and then the defense locks it down. This is a game the defense never really found the lockdown. So, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 are phone numbers. You can join us here on Buffalo Bills Football Monday at 1. Oh, speaking of the departures, shout out If you were watching when they did the little graphic with all the cars driving about the people that have left the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Where they got off the off-ramp, and then there's Milano in the broken-down car. Who else did a Dallas? Who went to Dallas? Somebody's with the Cowboys?
Oh, I didn't notice that because I saw Josh Norman.
Josh Norman made it.
With a question mark, right? Like, wait, is it a question that he's not on a team?
So Josh Norman was on that list of departures, and also, of course, a name that we I don't think
went to Dallas.
I don't think this individual's name has been mentioned, and I mean this seriously, one single time the entire offseason. Linval Joseph left.
Oh wow, I did not have that.
Linval Joseph.
Okay, that's not the name I thought, because there's another Bill in Dallas from last year that also maybe hasn't been mentioned. I think Jordan Phillips is also in Dallas.
Well, they had Linval Joseph on the broadcast, on the graphic. All right. Is he even in Dallas? Paul in Buffalo. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Buffalo Bills Football Monday.
Hey, guys. I'll have to beg your pardon, but is Linval Joseph a real name, or did you just make that
It's
up?
Real. I mean, the Bills signed him, what, midway through last year?
DaQuan Jones got injured, and they brought him in.
Yeah, he was a big body, was going to come in and help them stop the run.
He and Jordan Phillips are both in Dallas,
there you go.
By the way. How did Joseph make the graphic and Phillips
maybe,
didn't?
Maybe they meant to put Jordan Phillips on it instead of Linval
Joseph.
Maybe,
yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, that's funny, guys. Tell you, I have to give proper credit before I get to the Bills to Thunder, the quintessential Thunder and Lightning, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. They're impressive to watch every week, and they were certainly impressive last night. And due credit to them. Maybe it's because I enjoy college football so much, but they remind me of a team I hated, the 2014-2015 Ohio State Buckeyes, who featured T.J. Barrett and an amazing guy named Ezekiel Elliott, who ran all over. And we in Michigan had no chance of stopping them in those years. I don't understand is Sean McDermott, how he could – he coached that game thinking his defense was going to hold them under 25 points, which to me is kind of disrespectful considering the health of the Bills' defense. When you're punting on 4th-and-2 and 4th-and-1 with the Bills' offense, and you know, the first couple drives, I thought the Bills' offense, they moved the ball, and then they just decided to punt on 4th-and-2 and then 4th-and-1 and – next thing you know, you're down 17 points or 18 points, and good luck. It was, a real bad one for McDermott, but, you know, you pick yourself up from this. It's week four, and you got a chip on your shoulder, and the offensive line, which played the worst game I've seen them play in a couple of years, really show up next week. Give Josh a pocket, do that, and we'll take care of business next week. You know, pick yourself up and move on. Have a good show, guys.
Thanks, Paul. One thing the Bills will face next week in Houston's defense is Houston's pass rush can be really good. They've got two premier guys.
Yep.
But their secondary can be had. Like, you can throw it on Houston. And Jacksonville did. Brian Thomas Jr. got loose for a big game for him.
Yeah.
So you can get your points against Houston. I mean, even Anthony Richardson hit them over the top for a couple. So we'll see if they can do anything in the passing department with big plays.
I think, too, you're going to see maybe a different – maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll see a different matchup if Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson are in there.
Right.
Like, we might not have to see the Bills find answers to – them getting exposed by the Ravens, because the Ravens went after the middle of the field. They went after Baylen Specter. They went after Dorian Williams. They went after Cam Lewis. And in this game, Williams will be out there, but it's possible at least Bernard returned to practice, and Johnson, this would be the fourth game that he would miss, and they did not place him on IR. And Joe Biscelli had the details about him yesterday that this was kind of the plan all along. Like, until he's fully healed, he'll get back out there, and then the ramp up will be very quick, and he'll actually play with a cast on when he gets back. So it's possible both of those players are on the field on Sunday, and suddenly it's, oh man, how are they going to overcome their middle of the field woes? And it might just be they just have better players out there next week.
Yep. Yeah, reinforcements are coming. Milano, obviously a little further off, but reinforcements are coming for the defense. 803-0550. Thanks, Paul. Like the idea that they coached like they thought they were going to hold them under 20 points or 25 points, I would say he coached like he thought his defense was going to find the answers. Because to punt at 14-3 at midfield or 39-yard line, earlier in the game, you went for that. And then that's the one. 4th-and-1 at their own 39 on their opening drive, they went for it. 4th-and-1 on their own 39, down 11 points, they punted. He thought his defense was going to find the answers. And then McDermott had a very kind of a funny comment. maybe you heard this, and post game was late. He said he wished the flight were longer home. The flight home was longer because they need a lot of time to figure out all the things they need to work on. I wish we had a longer flight. So he knows a lot went poorly. And, you know, Josh even said, listen, this is a lot of teams will do this. It's good this happened early in the year. You know, maybe fix some things or whatever. You want to say it's humbling, it'll keep you hungry. Like, you know, that's normal. That's what these teams do.
Yeah.
You know, hey, a loss is good for us.
I mean, part of their momentum, this is where, like, that trick play fumble, like, do you believe in momentum and turning things around? Because they came out of the half. I mentioned McDermott made a comment going into the half to NBC that, like, that was the first thing on his mind is we have to figure out the answers on defense. And the Ravens' first two drives was 3-and-out, negative 10 yards, 3-and-out, negative 2 yards.
Now, part
six
of,
plays, lost 12 yards.
Part of that, the Ravens did you a favor. The first drive of the second half, the Ravens went pass, pass, pass.
That's right.
I mean,
but pass had been working before that.
Well, they might have wanted to consider running, you know, handing it to Derrick Henry, who ran for 200 yards.
All right, well, the next one they went run pass.
Yeah, and they stopped him there.
And they did stop him there.
So you got two defensive stops, the stops you thought you would get.
Man, they really. How different. Do we believe it was going to be a different game if they don't call that trick play? Do we think they finished that drive off and then the game is there? Because if they finished that drive off, I would have been interested to see if they went for two to get down a field goal.
Right.
Because the game is you're back, man. Like, you're back in it. Maybe you're doing things differently defensively. I don't know. Your offense is definitely different. Like, you can, if you want to get back into running the ball once in a while. Because the moment it's 35-10, like, you're not calling a run play the rest of the game. Versus if it's 21-17, like, you can run your offense.
You can be You can be multiple like you like to be. The trick play. You know, people will often say, yeah, if it worked, you would have been a genius. Like, okay.
I don't know what the work is on that play, though. Like,
that's the thing. Nothing about it seemed to have worked.
Yeah.
And was working the idea of you are going to heave it deep? Because there's a portion, there's a point here worth making. Is the only way you can throw it over the top of a team is if you fool them? You can't just run by a team. Baltimore had given up more explosive plays than any team in the league. And in the passing game, they'd been beaten for explosive plays, and you don't have an answer to go over the top of them. I mean, you did that for Keon Coleman, but he dropped one. He did catch two. Eddie in Lancaster before the break. Hey, Eddie, good morning.
Hey, guys, just so you know, the kids are coming in, but I'll be quick. Yeah, nothing went well. I have no idea how this staff thought they could go into Baltimore with a wounded animal that had the best record in the league last year against the reigning MVP and not be prepared, because that's what it looked like. They completely looked like they were not prepared. I had no problem. I kind of thought they were going to lose this game, not because they weren't good enough, just because of how bad Baltimore needed this to save their season. But to see how just completely discombobulated they were on both sides of the ball, I'm on that camp of, you know, hey, the Jaguars aren't as bad as we made them look last week. We're definitely not as bad as we looked last night. But I guess what bothered me the most was putting the franchise in jeopardy multiple times last night. He's not going to protect himself, but Brady and Dirk McDermott at some point should have been steaming mad about how much danger the franchise was in on a game that, in my opinion, on a good night, we would be close or maybe win. So I was really upset that they would do that. And Mac Collins, a great complimentary player. What are you doing? Brady just went witchy mode opposite. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. 803-0550. I like the point about Jacksonville. The Bills' offense looked as discombobulated as Jacksonville did last week. Like, yeah. You cooked up a plan, and it's the wrong plan. It's not going to work against this team. So maybe they'll meet again, and they'll have a better plan. 803-0550. Sal, top of the hour. More of your calls. Chris Brown, 830. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
I wish it was a 5-hour plane ride because I'd have enough time to find all the things that we need to work on. So it just wasn't up to our standard tonight. And I say that in the way of we have to do things better fundamentally, execution-wise. And it's not just one position. It's a collective as a team have to fundamentally do a better job, physically do a better job.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, that slice of audio from the locker room brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Speaking of execution, so that run from Derrick Henry for 87 yards,
mm-hmm.
There's a story from Jeff Zriebeck, who covers the Ravens, and he writes that the Ravens, that play call, offensive coordinator Todd Monken said if the Bills aligned a certain way, the Ravens were going to begin with a crunch run concept that, when executed, can take advantage of an aggressive defensive front that quickly gets upfield. Lined up in the pistol with running back Derrick Henry 2 yards behind him, Jackson and his teammates scanned across the line of scrimmage and immediately realized they had the right play call. This is the first play of the game. Tyler Lindebaum, if we got the look, we were going to run it. If we didn't, we're going to can it. We got the look, everyone did a good job blocking their guy, and Derrick made a guy miss out of the gate. 87 yards later, touchdown. First play of the game. Mm-hmm. If we get a look, we're going to run into this with this play. 87 yards.
Yep.
So,
do you know what springboards that play, by the way, when you see it from the end zone cam? Is Ed Oliver getting thrown back, pushed back by the Ravens fullback. Keep in mind, though, I don't need to blast Ed Oliver too much for that because the Ravens fullback, Pat Ricard, is 6'3", 311 pounds. Like, he's more of he's a guard. He's a guard. More than that. But he takes Oliver out, and then the hole is there. And we said it during the week, right? Like, Henry is the boulder down the hill. Once he gets to the second level with a head of steam, it's just...
It's impressive.
It's good luck.
Yeah.
How are you bringing him down? How are you catching him, first of all? He was moving as fast as... He was running. He outran every Bill, right? Like, it wasn't just, oh, he ran through guys on that. They could not catch him, which was wild.
More calls. Sal will join us. We'll take your calls with Sal. So what you want to bring it up with Sal. We'll chat with him, talk about his arrow up, arrow down column at WGR550.com after a brutal performance for the Bills. Brutal loss? Sure. It's a loss. 24-hour rule. We're within the 24 hours. We're going to talk about it with you. 803-0550 on WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.